Let's turn back into our Bibles to John 16. Started off with this last week. Remember when I talked about our scriptures that I don't like? Let's go back to John 16. Verse 33. It says, "These things," this is Jesus talking, in my Bible it's in red, "these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace." That's good, isn't it? "In the world you will have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." And again, tribulation is not one of those words we like. You know, we talk about the great tribulation, and that's something that people, Susie was talking about on Wednesday, and people were afraid of. But tribulation, this word means heavy pressure, stress, anguish, adversity. It's unbearable, crushing, squeezing distress. And I talked about, you know, doing the bench press and how the weight is so heavy. Have you ever been there and you just can't move it? It's stuck. And that's what this tribulation is. It's a crushing pressure, stress, weight, a burden. And Jesus says, in the world we'll have tribulation. And we need to realize this, and not that we expect it or we prophesy it or call it in, but this is just a fact. And for those that are following God and for a church like this, the enemy is working overtime with the people of Good News Church. Why? Because of the calling. Because of the mission that we have here about empowering people to give life. Now, he's out to kill and steal and destroy everybody, but especially those that are going for the things of God. He wants to stop you. And so he's going to bring pressure. He's going to bring stress in your lives. And nobody knows more about tribulation and trials than the Apostle Paul. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 kind of goes through some of his trials, just a few of them. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 23. And it's just pretty amazing when you read through this. 2 Corinthians 11, verse 23 says, "Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequently, in deaths often. From the Jews, 5 times I received 40 stripes minus one. 3 times I was beaten with rods, 1 I was stoned. 3 times I was shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeys often, in perils of water, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils of the Gentiles, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and toil, in sleeplessness often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, besides the other things, what comes upon me daily, my deep concern for all the churches." Wow. I'd like to have that list. Have that for your testimony. And so the Apostle Paul, and it's interesting that he wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. And he wrote a lot of, you know, messages to the church and messages to us today. And many of his writings were written in prison. So I think he knows a little bit about tribulation, dealing with trials, dealing with pressure. And so I want to read about one of the trials that he went through over in Acts chapter 16. Let's turn there. Acts chapter 16, verse 16. I'm going to read from the Amplified Version. And actually, two of the different things mentioned in 2 Corinthians, he's going to deal with in this chapter here. Acts 16, verse 16. "And we were on our way to the place of prayer, and we were met by a slave girl who was possessed by a spirit of divination, claiming to foretell future events and discover hidden knowledge. And she brought her owners much gain by her fortune-telling. She kept following Paul and the rest of us, shouting loudly, 'These men are servants of the Most High God. They announce to you the way of salvation.' And she did this for many days. Then Paul, being sorely annoyed and worn out. Ever been annoyed? Sorely annoyed? Ever been worn out? Just things just get to you and bother you. Well, that's what was happening with Paul. Sorely annoyed, worn out, turned and said to the spirit within her, I charge you in the name of Jesus to come out of her. That's good, isn't it? Taking his authority. And it came out that very moment. But when her owners discovered that their hope of the prophet was gone, they caught hold of Paul and Silas and dragged them before the authorities in the forum, the marketplace, where trials are held. And when they had brought them before the magistrates, they declared, these fellows are Jews, and they are throwing our city in great confusion. They encourage the practice of customs, which is unlawful for us Romans to accept or observe. The crowd also joined in the attack upon them, and the rulers tore their clothes off of them, commanded them that they be beaten with rods. That's what he just talked about, being beaten with rods. When they had struck them with many blows, threw them into prison, he was in jail, charging the jailer to keep them safely. He, having received so strict a charge, put them in the inner prison, the dungeon. Now, it's tough being in prison, but you don't want to be in the dungeon. The inner part. I mean, this is the worst part. This is the nastiest, the ugliest, and fastened their feet in stocks, and so put them in chains. So how many know, this is a rough situation, how many know, I mean, he did something good. He's doing ministry. He's, you know, casting the devil out of people, preaching the gospel. And this is the reward, this is the payment that he gets, is being beaten with rods, humiliated, thrown in jail. Anybody here ever been persecuted? Anybody here ever had situations where you've done the right thing and they treated you poorly? I mean, and look at what the enemy does. I mean, beats him, puts him in jail, puts him in bondage. That's what the enemy wants to do, puts you in bondage. What does he want? Why does he do these things? He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. He wants you to draw back and just say, well, just forget it. Forget serving God. I've tried to do good. I've tried to do right. This is the reward that I get. And then he tries to get you to have a bad attitude. Anybody here ever had a bad attitude? Anybody here ever griped and complained? Nobody here at Good News Church. Why does he want you to do that? Because he wants you to use your words to make your situation worse. He wants you to think that this is reality. This is how it is. It's not going to get any better. So he wants you to agree with the circumstances. That's what he's working. Whatever trial, tribulation, pressure, the Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. That's why we want the word in you. We want, when the pressure's on you, you know, when you're being squeezed, what's in you comes out. But the enemy's trying to get you down. He's trying to get you with your attitude, trying to start saying things about your mate, start saying things about the finances, start saying the things about our economy, start saying the things about your body, start saying the things about your relationships, start saying the things about the call of God, or maybe the vision or the dream. And once he has you there, it's going to go downhill from there. Because the power, Susie was talking about that, the power of our words and what we say, we have authority. We have authority in our world, in our lives. But he's trying to get you to quit, kind of get you to draw back. And so this is the situation. I mean, Paul and Silas, they've been beaten. You know, he's already tired. He's already wore out. He's been beaten. He's been thrown in jail. He's in prison with the cockroaches and the rats. And maybe some other things on the floor or whatever. Let you use your imagination. I mean, this is a tough situation. And, you know, and then we go on and read verse 25. It says, but at the midnight hour. You ever had a midnight hour? I mean, the midnight hour can be a pretty dark hour. You ever had one of those hours when the enemy is just beating you over the head, telling you lies after lies, but you're so beat down, you start believing them, you start listening to them? Midnight hour is the darkest hour. And so Paul, I mean, this guy, he's been through some trials. He knows what to do. So let's find out what we're to do when we have a trial or a tribulation or when we have pressure. We have to know what to do. And see, and this is the issue that we deal with, and I think a church especially like this, because we've been taught the Word, we've read a lot of books, and we've heard a lot of things, and so we have a lot of knowledge. But the secret to Christianity is in the application. It's not enough to know. I mean, we know more, we've forgotten more things than a lot of other believers even ever heard. Is that right? How many have heard some good sermons over the years? How many could get up here and preach a good sermon? You have a lot in you. You've been taught so many things. But it says in James talking about, don't be a hearer only. If you're a hearer only, you'll be deceived. Be a hearer and a doer, and what happens? You'll be blessed, meaning you're going to reap the benefits. Paul, I mean, he had visions. I mean, he's getting revelation about things that have never been said before. I mean, that's pretty heady stuff. Bringing revelation knowledge of things that people have never, ever heard before. So he knows a lot. He's, you know, had visions, seen angels, all these different things. But if he doesn't apply it, what he knows, it's not going to work. You have to apply it. So let's keep on reading here. Let's get into the application. But at about the midnight hour, again, this is the toughest hour, as Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, the other prisoners were listening to them. I love this. It wasn't just some kind of little quiet little prayer. Lord, help me. Lord, bless me. You're so good. No, this was passionate prayer. This was like praying for his life. Calling on God, calling on the power of God, speaking the Word, praying in the Spirit, but praying with some intensity, praying some with emotion. And then they got over, as they began to pray, they got over, and this will happen many times in prayer time, you'll pray, you'll get over into victory. Because the things you're praying about, even though you don't see them, you know that you have them. That's what prayer time should be like. Talking to God, you know that you have the things you're praying about. And so when you know you already have it, even though you don't see it, you just start to get happy. You start to rejoice. I mean, they're getting happy. They're in chains. They've been beaten. They're bleeding. Laying in urine. Little cockroach nibbling on their feet. But they're laying there and they're rejoicing. They're getting happy. They're praising God. And they are so loud, the other prisoners are listening to them. Applying it. Not griping. Not complaining. Not saying, woe is me. Not frustrated. Not mad. But acting on the Word. That's what faith is. In the midst of trials, in the midst of tribulations, and we're all going to deal with them. I wish I had this gospel message that said, we just live in a perfect world, and you just do the Word, and everything's going to be perfect. I wish that's the way it is. But I want you to know, this is from your pastor, I never promised you a rose garden. And if I did, there's going to be thorns on the roses. We want the rose garden without the thorns. And I hate that, but if we're doing anything for God, you got a big target on your back. And the devil's going to do everything he can to destroy everything about your life. And if he can't get to you, he'll get to the ones you love. He's mad as hell at you. He's mad as hell. And he hates you. And he's going to use circumstances and people, and get this, he may even use other believers. How quicker to hurt you than someone you're not expecting it from? Maybe a family member, maybe another believer. I mean, why? Your force field. For all you Star Trek fans, the force field, is that what they call it? There's no Star Trek fans here. Okay. The force field, you have your shield, you have it down, and the Klingons shoot their proton torpedoes with your shield down. It's going to, affect your ship. Boy, he's really just stretching for things today here. It's going to affect your ship because your shield is down. So he was going to hit you with low blows. But they knew what to do. They were praying and singing hymns of praise to God. The other prisoners were listening to them. Suddenly! Who wants a suddenly? I like that. Suddenly, there was a great earthquake. So the very foundations of the prison were shaken. And all at once, the doors were opened and everyone's shackles were unfastened. I mean, this power is so strong, it affects not only Paul and Silas, but everybody there. By changing your words and calling on God and asking for His help and asking for His strength. When the jailer started out of his sleep, saw that the prison doors were open, he drew his sword and was on the point of killing himself because he supposed that the prisoners had escaped. Because the punishment for the jailer is what the prisoner's punishment. So if they're all gone, he gets their punishment. So he's done for. He just figures instead of being tortured, he's going to go ahead and just take his life. But Paul shouted, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." That's a miracle. We are all here. Then the jailer called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling and terrified, he fell down before Paul and Silas, and he brought them out of the dungeon and said, "Men, what is it necessary for me to do that I may be saved?" And they answered, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, give yourself up to Him, take yourself out of your own keeping and entrust yourself into His keeping, and you will be saved. And this applies both to you and to your household as well." And they declared the word of the Lord, the doctrine concerning the attainment through Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and bathed them because of their bloody wounds, and he was baptized immediately, and all the members of his household. I mean, what an awesome thing. So he prayed. What is prayer? Prayer is talking to God. That's all, simply all it is. And I like to, when I pray, I like to use the word. Over in 1 John 5, it talks about, if you pray anything according to His will, what happens? He hears us. And then if He hears us, what happens? Then we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him. There's different times when, if I'm going through a trial, you have some favorite verses? some favorite chapters maybe. When I'm going through a trial, I'll just flip over to Psalm 23. Maybe Psalm 37. How about Psalm 91? Psalm 103? Psalm 107? And I'll start reading these. Isaiah 57. Isaiah 54. Isaiah 60. Isaiah 61. I mean, there's just different chapters. You can just start reading them, and I'll just start confessing the Word and speaking the Word and saying it out loud. Other times I'll pray in the Spirit. Praying in the Spirit is praying in a heavenly language. Praying in the Spirit is a result of being baptized in the Holy Spirit. It talks about in Acts chapter 1, Acts chapter 2. It's where the Spirit of God fills you up to overflowing, where you're baptized, where you're immersed in the Holy Spirit. The Apostle Paul said, I thank my God that I pray in tongues more than you all. Romans chapter 8 says, you know, how to pray when you feel weak. Pray in the Spirit. Jude 1:20 says, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. When you pray in the Holy Spirit, you're praying God's perfect will. And that building over in Jude 1:20, it's building is like, you know, and I know about this from Minnesota. You know about Minnesota, they have cold weather there. We know about dead batteries. Remember the old commercials from International Falls, Minnesota, 50 below. Remember those commercials? So I know about charging batteries. And that word building is energizing, charging up your batteries. So when you pray in the Spirit, you're strengthening yourself spiritually. You're praying God's perfect will. And so when I'm praying, I just, you know, pray according to the Word. Last week we talked about, you know, Philippians 4 verse 13 says, you know, just ask God to strengthen you. Maybe he prayed prayers over in Ephesians chapter 1, in Ephesians 3, in Colossians 1. Maybe he prayed, you know, Lord, give me strength in the inner man. Give me revelation, the eyes of my heart being enlightened. Lord, let me know the hope of my calling. Let me know the riches of the inheritance I have in the saints. But also in Ephesians 1, he talks about the power of God. Help me to understand and to see and to experience that power. Maybe he was just talking about the power. We need to act. We need to pray. We need to call some things into our lives. We need to do like what it says in Romans 4. Call things that be not as though they are. Instead of stop calling things as they are. Well, I'm in jail. I'm in prison. I'm addicted. I'm this, I'm that. I'm sick. I'm broke. I'm whatever. I never do anything right. Instead of those things, why don't we start saying who we are in Christ? Why don't we start saying the Word? Why don't we start speaking the Word and watch as our world changes? Because when you open your mouth and you speak God's Word, power comes. Because you call on the scene everything that God is. God is love. God is life. God is healing. God is provision. God is joy. God is peace. When you, it's the most powerful thing you have is your words. Call Him on the scene. Instead of stop speaking that doubt and unbelief and how bad it is and woe is me. Hey, I know you're going through trials. You're going through tribulations. But speaking the problem, and again, there's a place to talk to other faith people. I'm not saying, but speaking the problem over and over only makes things worse. That's not going to bring the power of God on the scene. I want His power. I want earthquakes. I want shackles being let go. I want people here today that are dealing with addictions just to be set free. I want people that are here today that are sick for healing just to come and then be free. Amen. I want people here that are broke for provision to come. Yes. I want people that have strife and just chaos in their house for peace to come. Yes. Can he do it?
Yes.
Does he want to do it?
Yes.
Well, why isn't he doing it? He's not doing it because we're not allowing him. We're not authorizing him with our words. We've got to authorize him to come into our home. Authorize him to come into our lives. And that's what Paul and Silas did. They authorized God to show up in the dungeon. We've got, he doesn't just force himself on a, he's not going to do that. And then praise and worship. Excuse me. Praise and worship. There's praise, there's thanksgiving, there's worship. Get all my notes here. Psalm 91, verse 1 says, "It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High, to declare your loving kindness in the morning and your faithfulness every night." To give Him praise for what He's done, praise for what He's going to do, praise for His power, thanksgiving, just thank Him. Thanking Him, "You're so good, Father. I mean, You've saved me. You've set me free. You've filled me with the Holy Spirit. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You for the angels of God that ministered to me. Thank You, You've given me the name of Jesus." And then worship as we exalt Him for who He is. Psalm 29, verse 1. "Give unto the Lord, all you mighty ones. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness." So if you're going through some trials and tribulations, even if you're not, today is a good day. This week's a good time to pray. It's a good time to praise Him. It's a good time to worship Him. It's a good time for Thanksgiving. And let's just expect miracles. And then, you know, pray for each other. Pray about the church. Pray for the leaders. Call in God's best. I mean, we're just scratching the surface of what God wants to do. We're a body. We're for each other. All right, so we're going to go ahead and we're going to act on this today. Go ahead and stand. Let's just take some time of prayer right now. I'll lead us, but you go ahead and pray where you're at, whatever the Lord puts on your heart. And let's just go ahead and expect miracles. Let's expect miracles. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, thank You, Lord. Lord, we just thank You right now for Your power to be demonstrated here today. We call on the power of God to be in manifestation here today. Show Yourself strong. Show Yourself in a mighty way. For the power of God to be manifest in people's lives. First of all, to be manifest in their bodies. We just speak health and healing right now in the name of Jesus. May the power of God flow in people's bodies and in their minds right now in the name of Jesus. If there's something you couldn't do, go ahead and do it. Hallelujah. But people being free in their minds right now. Oppression, depression, leave right now in Jesus' name. Things that people are in bondage to, be set free in the name of Jesus. Be loosed in the name of Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Thank You, Father. Praise You, Father. Magnify You, Father. Glory to God. Thank You for provision. I call every need met. Every bill paid. Every debt paid. If they need a miracle today, they need a miracle this week, I call it in right now. In Jesus' name, that need is met. Over and above. Oh, thank you, Lord. And for that strife in these relationships, there'll be healing, Lord. There'll be peace. There'll be reconciliation. There'll be help right now in the name of Jesus. Give them wisdom in those relationships, Father. Give them wisdom. Show them what to do. Glory to God. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, for the people here today. They know the hope of their calling. They know the riches of the inheritance they have in the saints. Lord, they're hearing from you about the plan for their lives, getting direction for their lives. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Lord, I thank you for the people here. They're empowered to give life. They go about doing the works of Jesus. They are bold. They step out of their comfort zone. They share the gospel. They lay hands on the sick and people recover. They cast out devils. Thank you, Father.